Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish, Cakes,
hey,
and JP.
I want to point out that people are saying that I forgot the 1998 World Series that the Padres were in. Yes, I forgot that they were in the night. You know why I forgot? Because they were embarrassed in that.
They lost.
Because they got swept by the Yankees. So they won one World Series game in 53 years. All right. I apologize. I forgot the 98 World Series.
All right, you got my point. We're going to get back to the Juan Soto deal with Bob Nightingale, one of the premier voices in Major League Baseball, columnist for USA Today. He'll jump on at 8:20. And then we will hear from Mike Rizzo. And once again, people tweet us questions that we can't ask him. We're not going to be complete jerks.
Correct. Okay? We have to be professional.
We will get the deal from him as to why he dealt Juan Soto, decided to do it this year versus the offseason, why they didn't put out more offers after the $440 million.
Right.
Which, by the way, he's not deciding that. That's the learners, his bosses. But we will ask him all the questions you want to hear with some respect.
If Mike Rizzo lived in a utopian society, he would have a lineup with Trey Turner, Max Scherzer, Bryce Harper, Anthony Rendon, Juan Soto. He would have all those players here. But you have to pick and choose, and you can't pay every single guy.
Hey, there was a big story real quick getting back to the NFL, and we were going to hit the Skins here. Poop on the poopies. But the NFL notified the Dolphins yesterday that the team's going to be stripped of their 2023 first-round pick, among other disciplinary measures for violations of league policies relating to the integrity of the game, specifically for conversations that they had on three different occasions from 2019 to 2022, that they had conversations with Tom Brady, tampered, and then also Sean Payton.
Was it definitively Tom Brady? Remember when it was like the mystery quarterback?
That's what the NFL did a six-month...
I figured it was Brady.
Six-month investigation, and they found that Stephen Ross and Vice Chairman Bruce Beal violated the anti-tampering policy on three different occasions.
Isn't it crazy how you can get this info, but you never heard the Beth Wilkinson report?
I know, it's
or
nuts.
Or certain things they'll let come out and certain things they hold to the vest.
I think the punishment for Stephen Ross was a tad light. He's fined $1.5 million. I believe his net worth is over $8 billion.
One draft pick. Although it's a big one.
Two draft picks.
Oh, it's two.
Third rounder in the 2024 draft and the first rounder in 2023.
First one is a big one. That's
but
the
those
big
are
one.
Like a first and a third rounder. That's pretty valuable draft capital. And his suspension goes through October of 2022.
Maybe if the NFL found evidence that they permanently, purposely were tanking games.
Right.
Remember that's what Brian Flores said?
Yes.
When he filed the racism lawsuit, and he said that Stephen Ross came to him and wanted him to tank.
Yeah.
But they found no evidence of that. So maybe if they did, maybe there would have been a harsher sentence, but they found no evidence of that.
If I were an NFL owner, I would try to tank. I would never get caught by doing it, but I would tell people to tank to get the first pick.
That's just me. I'm generally pro tank. So I'm not a guy who wants to live in the middle class all the time.
You think Joe Burrow's worked out for the Cincinnati Bengals?
I think it's pretty much worked out because Joe Burrow went one, Chase Young went two in the same
draft. It is a slap on the wrist because $1.5 million for an NFL owner is like a nickel. $10 million is like a nickel.
Right.
When Snyder
was
fined.
It's literally nothing.
Maybe it's job security for Tua, because if Tua doesn't play well this year, they would probably be in the business of finding a new quarterback, and generally going to find new quarterbacks via draft.
I've got a vibe that he's going to perform pretty well. I mean, you add Tyreek Hill. Jalen Waddle is an emerging
stud. I think
stud.
That he could.
They add Chase Edmonds in the backfield. That's a guy that catches passes.
He certainly has weapons. I saw the 65-yard pass to Tyreek Hill they were showing on ESPN.
They got Mostert, too.
Mostert, but I mean,
when he's healthy, he's pretty good.
Banged up.
When he's healthy, he's good, but yeah, I understand what you're saying.
But point is, if he was bad this year, they would be looking at the draft next year for a new quarterback.
If Tua is a dud,
they don't have a first-round draft choice. That's a big, big loss.
That certainly hurts.
And I wonder, so they did this investigation, and the NFL found that they called it impermissible communications with the agent for Brady and Sean Payton, who's the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
Don Yee.
Man, those are some nice checks.
Would you like to be Don Yee? Would you like to be Cakes Yee?
I would love to be Cakes Yee.
All right.
Get those checks.
So they had, but I wonder how much that goes on. I would think that that happens with every team.
It's just a matter of getting caught. Like, you think the Skins weren't tampering when they signed Albert Haynesworth at like 12:01 when free agency start? All of a sudden he has a $1 million deal on the table with the quickness. The tampering happens all the time. It's just a matter of, do you get caught doing it?
So what was the timeline of this? Did all this blow up in their face? Because Peyton retired in like late January, and then Brady retired.
Yep.
And they were both planning to go to Dolphins, and then a report came out, right? Or that Flores.
Well, that's when
Flores
came out and said that he was offered money. He was offered money by Stephen Ross to tank games. So when he came forward with that lawsuit, and I can't remember when that was, what month that was of last year. Or maybe it was earlier this year. But yeah, it kind of all just kind of snowballed.
And Flores is on somebody's staff, right?
It's on the Steelers staff. By the way, how great is it to be Sean Payton? Win a Super Bowl in New Orleans, and Breeze retires. You decide, you know what? I'm going to take a break. I'm going to do whatever I want to do for a while.
Is he doing TV this year?
I think he's doing some TV bits. Right. But then whenever he wants to come back, he's going to have Jerry Jones lavishing him with a big fat deal when that buffoon Mike McCarthy eventually bumbles his way out of Dallas.
When Mike McCarthy wins the division,
what am I supposed to
with
say?
11 wins, but then they get blown out in the first round of the playoffs, McCarthy will be gone, Sean Payton will be in.
Sean Payton's just going to answer the phone one day, and Jerry Jones is going to be on the other end saying, yeah, hey, Sean, we're going to give you $13 million a year to coach Cowboys. What do you think about that?
I mean, what am I supposed to say?
What am I supposed to say?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes to you, Jerry Jones. That's what I'm supposed to say.
So Payton is going to be Jimmy Johnson's fill-in during off days, studio guy.
Oh, okay. For
it's
Fox.
It's a great life.
Yeah, he'll be good.
He has a great life.
They're probably
paying
him $20 million just to be fill in.
During Jimmy Johnson's off days.
Because Jimmy Johnson decides when he wants to leave Key
so
West.
He only does certain Sundays?
Yeah,
it's just NFL Sunday.
Some days he's in the studio, and some days he's on his yacht.
Right. He's
zooming in.
He's out on the Keys. Yeah. He's in the Florida Keys doing his bit. It's great. He has a great life, too. Jimmy Johnson.
It seemed. I mean, the 2023 first round pick. I mean, you take a hit on that. When you don't have a first round pick, you do take a hit.
Sure.
But the $1.5 million and being suspended until
October 17th. Yeah, you're suspended until like week five.
Yeah, that's not
or
bad.
Week six.
I'm still laughing at Mike McCarthy. That is an underutilized soundbite on this show.
He is a big dumb dumb.
Yep, that's funny.
But hey, credit to him. He's probably raking in $5 or $6 million this year from Jerry Jones.
He's known as a dumb dumb.
He's winning at life.
He's won a Super Bowl.
He's won a Super Bowl.
Last year they were a 12-win team, I believe.
And what happened ultimately?
I understand.
Now, but Commanders
they
fans.
They got beat by who?
Commanders fans.
Who did they get beat by?
Cowboys.
My boy.
Your Niners worked them.
Commanders fans would kill somebody in their own family for a 12-win season.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it would just do awful things for 12 wins, which hasn't happened here in quite a long time. probably 91. 30 years, 30 plus years.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't it 91?
I mean, it has to be.
But, Drabby, don't you think that was kind of a light sentence based on, and I don't know how serious it is when you tamper and you call an agent about Brady, and I have no idea, but.
I don't know. I think losing a first-round pick is a massive penalty.
That's a big deal. You're right. That's a big deal.
And I believe Snyder and his team will remind you that he did not get fined. The organization did.
All
right. Right. The organization got fined. Right. Which he leads and he heads because he's the owner. But he wasn't personally fined.
Where is he now, by the way?
I'm sure he's on his yacht somewhere off the coast.
Check out the Dan Snyder yacht tracker.
Probably off the coast of Italy somewhere. Dodging subpoenas.
I know Tanya wasn't with him.
She wasn't?
No, because Tanya was out at Ashburn. They were giving a 100-year-old fan like a big gift
bag. You know what?
I
will get you.
Chase Young was giving her big old smoochies.
We routinely just crushed the Commanders. That was a nice gesture by them. For a lifelong fan, I think she was
100.
98 or 100. I mean,
maybe 98.
Yeah. I believe after practice, the entire team came over and sang her happy birthday.
Correct.
I think her name was Melba. You know somebody's really old when their name is Melba. That's an old school
name. My buddy's
name.
Mother is named Melba, and I love Melba.
I'm sure.
I also have a buddy whose mom is Mabel. So if you're Mabel or Melba, you're probably at minimum 80.
Same five letters.
Yeah.
But I'm sure you love Melba / Mabel.
Love them both.
But if you, like, say you rewind 20 years, would you ever consider naming your daughter Melba? Probably not.
No.
Probably wouldn't name your kid Martha. It's an old school name.
Nope.
Just wouldn't do it.
According to Dan Snyder Yacht Tracker.
Yes.
This is from 22 hours ago. Dan Snyder's second jet just flew from Israel to Geneva, Switzerland.
Okay.
Jeez.
So, again, when you guys go out to FedEx Field and you're wondering why you're paying $14 for a domestic draft beer, it's to furnish Dan Snyder's lavish lifestyle. Not one, two jets. I believe his yacht is 190 feet long.
With the movie theater, IMAX inside.
He has a special IMAX theater on it. And I believe he paid around $50 million for a property in Virginia a couple years ago.
Yes.
So just remember
that.
Well,
his company's worth $7.4 billion, so.
His company's worth a lot of money.
Coming up next, we're getting a little national perspective on the Juan Soto deal. Bob Nightingale, MLB Baseball insider columnist for USA Today, joins us. Remember, Mike Rizzo, Nats president of baseball operations, joins us at 9. That's all right here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on the TV side? Been talking all morning about the Juan Soto deal, taking your calls, some anger, some sadness, some ambivalence out there because they're used to it because it happened with Harper. Trey Turner, Max traded last year. Rendon, Soto, add him to the list. But in his prime at 23, traded away. Some fans struggling with it. Join us to give us a little national perspective on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. It's Bob Nightingale, insider, columnist for USA Today. Good morning, Bob.
Yeah, morning. Morning.
So give us a little historical perspective. I've heard some say it's arguably the biggest trade in Major League Baseball history, which is hard to believe. Babe Ruth was traded. Where do you rank this thing historically?
Well, it's certainly the biggest since the MLB trade rumor started, you know, back on the internet. But yeah, I mean, for a mid-season trade, it certainly may be. You know, we've seen bigger and better trades in the off-season. I remember when, you know, Joe Carter and Fred McGriff and Tony Fernandez and Robbie Alomar were traded at the winter meetings, I think it was 1990, and even the in the media room, everybody stood up and cheered. It was just such a breathtaking trade at the time. But mid-season, and particularly considering the number of prospects involved and how good they are, it certainly might go down as the best mid-season trade.
Yeah, because I read that no all-star at age 23 or younger has ever been traded mid-season.
Right, yeah, and I think it's the first winner at 24, you know, multiple all-stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you know, how many guys at young are ever all-stars, you know, so
right.
You don't go, there's not that many. But yeah, it's just a, you know, for a guy that young and to be traded, but hey, if he wasn't going to sign there, you got to get the most you could back. And I thought the Nationals did an outstanding job with the return.
Before we get into the return, how are the Nationals seen around the league right now? Because a few years ago, their payroll, when they were winning the World Series, it was up there with some of the top teams. And now, you know, fans here may be frustrated, angry. They're almost looking like they're the Oakland A's all of a sudden.
Well, I mean, they have a World Series flag hanging up for 2019.
Sure.
You know, the A's haven't won anything since, you know, back in, what, 89. So, you know, they were perennial, you know, contenders in the playoffs year after year. They had a glorious run. And hey, that team was built from scratch and became World Series champion. There's no reason this won't kick, you know, jumpstart them, and they can do the same thing in a couple of years.
So we've been taking calls, like JP said, all morning. And, you know, some fans understand why they did it. He turned down $440 million. He clearly wants to go to free agency. Rizzo just didn't have another move to make. I mean, it's not like they could have said, all right, here, you want $700 million? I mean, he's got bosses that are paying the bills. So when you look at what Rizzo did, and, you know, Rizzo's kind of getting blamed for what happened last year too, trading Trey and Scherzer and getting back prospects. Two of them are starters, and, you know, they're having okay years in Ruiz and Gray, but they don't look like they're all-stars. But it's way too early to give up on them. I get it. But with this particular deal, with the haul that they got back, would you give, what grade would you give Rizzo on this trade?
I would give him an A. I really would. I thought he did an outstanding job. You know, he didn't have to trade him. He stuck to his guns and said, you meet my price, or he's staying put. And you had, you know, you had the Dodgers involved, obviously, the Seattle Mariners, St. Louis Cardinals, and the Padres. And he took advantage of a very aggressive GM. And A.J. Preller in San Diego said, okay, we'll just keep giving you prospects and do what it takes. Mm-hmm. And finally, to get every last guy he could, you know, threw in Josh Bell, you know, who wasn't coming back anyway, as a free agent. So, no, I think this is a you know, great for their organization as far as getting them back in track. If they had kept Soto, you know, I just can't see anything have changed. I mean, he's going to start making, you know, more money. He's probably going to make about $65 million in salary arbitration these next 2 years.
Wow.
And, you know, what are you going to do? Show up at the ballpark and watch him take a bunch of walks because there's nobody else in that lineup?
Yeah.
I think they're better off this way. I really do.
Yeah, the fans, some fans just can't understand it. Let me ask you a question. So in his press conference, Rizzo said that came down to two teams, obviously the Padres and I assume the Cardinals. Is there?
The Dodgers.
Oh, so the Cardinals were out?
No, they weren't out, but
okay.
The Dodgers, I think, finished in second place. The
okay.
Cardinals were in there, but not at the very, very end.
Do you have any idea of what those teams were offering and why he went with the Padres instead?
Well, I think the Padres were just clearly the best package. You know, the Cardinals didn't want to put, you know, Dylan Carlson plus prospects in a package. The Dodgers weren't giving up, you know, their top guys. I'm not sure they're going to give up that catcher, Cartea, who is, you know, people think he's the next Mike Piazza. So, but I just think with the pieces they got, and they got major league proven players too.
Right.
I mean, again, Kenzie Gore has, you know, pitched in the big leagues. Abrams has played. So, no, I think that type of package, I'm not sure there's another player in baseball that you could have got for that. You know, maybe Ohtani, maybe not. He's only having Ohtani for another year and a half.
Talking to Bob Nightingale, Major League Baseball insider columnist for USA Today. So since you mentioned Abrams, for the Nationals fans that are trying to get to know these new players, tell us about this shortstop, C.J. Abrams.
Well, you know, scouts love this kid. It's like, okay, they could see him as a perennial all-star. You know, they could see him being, you know, the next Trey Turner type of thing. Just a very solid guy. Great makeup and everything else. And I think, you know, going to Nationals too, the fact they're not going to be a contender for a while allows these guys to relax and become better ball players rather than just, you know, thrown in the heat of a pennant race. And if you have a bad week, you find yourself on the bench in the minors. You know, that won't happen in Washington.
All right, so what about some of you mentioned Gore, Mackenzie Gore, and he was the number three draft pick a couple years ago. He was their top pitching prospect, maybe their top prospect overall, and he left his last appearance with an injury. Is that a concern?
Well, I mean, they went through all the medicals and everything else. He says he's fine, nothing to worry about.
Okay.
You know, he was starting to get up there in innings limits anyway, just because he hadn't pitched that much a year ago. Really scuffled last year, but he bounced back and was electric when he pitched. So I'm not sure we'll see him, you know, pitch again this year. If he does, very limited. But no, he's got a chance to be a frontline starter for sure, you know, number one or number two guy.
Bob, let's fast forward 2.5 years to when Juan Soto is a free agent. How many teams, in your opinion, can realistically afford what's going to be his asking price when he hits free agency?
I only think, you know, maybe 2-3 tops. You know, it's like Aaron Judge. You know, people say, oh, what's Aaron Judge going to make? I'm not sure if he makes $300 million just because teams aren't going to pay that much out there. I mean, you always have the Yankees, you know, in the Dodgers and who knows who else. But even the Padres, I mean, the Padres aren't going to give him $500 million. They already got 2 $300 million players in Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis. Mm-hmm. And when it shocked me to see the Padres trade him again in a couple of years, saying, look, let's get some prospects back before he hits free agency.
Right.
So, you know, and some guys want to stay, some don't. And I can understand that he wanted more money per year. But, hey, we saw Austin Riley, who was an unbelievable third baseman, might be the NL MVP. He just signed for $212 million over 10 years, just 21 a year. But he badly wanted to stay there. And, you know, I don't think the Nationals ever got that impression like, okay, we're going to keep him. And I also believe that there was some ownership saying, hey, whoever we believe is the next incoming group does not want to inherit this and be the bad guys. Okay, our very first move is trading Juan Soto, and the fans never forgive him.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it, Bob. A.J. Preller's all in with the Padres. They've been to the playoffs one time since 2007, once. And that was in 2020 when they got swept by the Dodgers in the COVID year. They were, you know, they've been an average to bad franchise for 15 years. They're all in. And like you said, they may not have Soto in 3 years because they're not going to give him that much money with those other salaries on the payroll. So I would argue there's just as much pressure on A.J. Preller with this deal as there is on Mike Rizzo for these prospects to work out in 5 years.
Oh, absolutely. It might be more pressure. I mean, they have to win. If they don't at least get to the World Series while Soto's there, it's a failure. I mean, you got to win when you have that much star power, that much big payroll. They're going to be the luxury tax. And this is a small market team. It's only the 27th largest market in the country. You know, they're drawing well this year. But you're right. I mean, I think 06 was the last time they were in the playoffs in a full season. You know, 2020, right. Everybody was in there.
Right.
So yeah, they got to get there, and they got to get past the Dodgers. And people in San Diego hate everything about LA. I used to live in both cities, and it's amazing the hatred San Diegans have against people from LA. And they would love nothing better to be the team that finally knocks off the Dodgers.
Bob, you've mentioned the ownership situation here in Washington a little bit. What's the expected timeline here? Because we first started hearing that the Lerners were exploring selling the team back in April.
Yeah, I could certainly see this thing being sold by November. I think that's the next, or maybe it's the first week of December, at the owners' meetings. No, I'm sorry, they are November. I could see it being sold by then, and then then they go through the paperwork and everything else and go through screening committees, and then sold, you know, by the next time they meet in February. Mm-hmm. So I would think with the group they have selling it as well, they move pretty quick. So I would definitely think it's going to be sold before the end of the year.
Were there any other trades made? I think there were 37 trades made over the last 2 days. I tried to count them all. It was around 40. Any other surprises in your opinion, especially, you know, with these contenders trying to go all in and add pieces?
Well, I thought I knew there were listed offers on Josh Hader. I'm still surprised Milwaukee moved him, sitting in first place. I mean, that clubhouse is still up in arms over it. And Devin Williams, who's supposed to take over, was furious as closer, you know, and is furious. So that's another great move. I mean, for the Padres to get a four-time All-Star closer, it shows how much they're in. You know, they grabbed Brandon Drury from the Reds. So it's not like they stopped. I love what Seattle did, too. Seattle's going for this thing. They haven't made the playoffs since 2001, you know, the longest route in North American team sports. And then by them getting it, Luis Castillo from the Reds puts them in the hunt. And a lot of pressure there on Jerry Dipoto and Scott Servais, the manager. I think they have to make the playoffs or heads are going to roll.
Mm-hmm. What about Shohei Ohtani? The rumors that the Angels were fielding offers, I guess the Yankees were in on that. I'm not sure what that offer was. Maybe you do. What are the Angels' plans? They've got him for one more arbitration year. He's making $5 million this year. What a bargain. And, I mean, can they afford to re-sign him to a deal where you probably have to pay him double annually because he does both jobs and he does them both well? I don't know what the Angels can do here. Were you surprised that he wasn't traded?
No. There was zero chance of him being traded. And there's a better chance of three of us playing the outfield for the Nationals than Ohtani being traded at the deadline. All they did was just listen and say, okay, if we move him this winter, what kind of offers can we anticipate? And that was it. Mm. Remember, this guy makes $20 million a year for the Angels off the field. Right. So if the Angels had wanted to trade him, they would have had to refund a lot of the money back to all the investors, advertising, marketing, and all that. This winter, though, I think they're going to say, do you want to sign here or not? Uh-huh. If you do, we'll do everything possible, what it takes. If you don't, where would you like to go? And you know, we'll go ahead and move you. Uh-huh. And I'm not sure what he's worth. They don't either. You know, the fact he does both, how long is he going to do both? And he's a little older, too. He's, 28 years old, right. Not 23. So they would, even if they trade him this winter, you know, they're not going to get the same package as Soto. But some owner may say, you know what, we can make a lot of money off the field on this guy. So whatever we get, whatever we pay him, we're going to get it back in everything else.
So before we let you go, what would you tell the Nats fans about this Soto deal? The Nats fans that are freaking out, can't understand why they would trade a superstar, a top five hitter, at age 23, when you still have him under contract for another 2 years after this year, what would you tell the Nats fans?
Be patient and have faith. I mean, you already saw Mike Rizzo turn it around before. So he's got a track record. He can certainly do it again. He's as good a GM as there is in the business. So what's going to happen? I mean, would you rather be like the Los Angeles Angels and have a star like Mike Trout and not make the playoffs any year, or do you want a team that's going to be good and sustain that competitiveness for a long time? I love the trade. I really did. I thought Mike Rizzo did a tremendous job. Hmm.
All right, Bob. Appreciate the time and insights. Bob Nightingale from the USA Today. Thanks, pal.
Take care, guys.
Yep.
Thank you, Bob.
He's bullish on Mike Rizzo's haul.
Seems like his second job is Mike Rizzo's PR director.
He's not the only one. He's not the only one, because I told you I was listening to Jim Bowden yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He loved it, too.
He loved the deal. John Heyman loved the deal. Steve Phillips thought it was a crazy deal because of how good Soto is, but he loved the deal coming back because he understands, as a former GM, Rizzo was in a tough spot.
Your guy, R.J. Anderson.
R.J. Anderson didn't like it. But R.J. Anderson, if you read that article, he did say, you've got a feel for Rizzo because, yeah. I can't remember where the quote is, but he said, you got a feel for Rizzo because he was in a bind and they just couldn't keep him.
I'll be honest. I've heard of, missed our interview last week. 1,000 Andersons.
Sure.
R.J. is not one of
them. And that's what Rizzo said last week.
You know, I'm Team Rizzo. Apparently I'm Team Rizzo. Who knew?
He goes, this is what he said. He says, you have to feel for GM Mike Rizzo. Do you think he's memorized his farewell speech by now? Bryce Harper, Anthony Rendon, Max Scherzer, Trey Turner, and Juan Soto, all gone in a handful of years.
Who does Anderson write for?
CBS.
Okay.
CBS Sports. So, I mean, he gave the grades. He said A for the pods, D for the Nats.
Right.
A lot of people would do that. But
hopefully Nightingale is correct, and Rizzo is correct, and the organization is correct, and these guys, the CJ Abrams, the Mackenzie Gores, they all pan out or silly. I think at a minimum, they have probably two out of three starting outfielders of the future with Wood and Hassel. They're very young. And two guys who they expect to be part of the rotation in Gore and Susanna. That guy throws 102.
And he's 18 years old.
And then they've got a shortstop of the future. So you can move Luis Garcia, who's maybe your second baseman of the future, over to second base because he can't field a lick at shortstop.
Their top prospects are currently Hassel now, who they just got, Cavalli, pitcher, James Wood, who they just got, Brady House, who they just drafted last year, Christian Vaquero, who they signed, Elijah Green. Those are your top six right now. Their ages are 20, 23, 19, 19, 17, and 19. So yeah. You got to be patient.
Right. I saw it, and this is the opinion from at Talk Nats on Twitter, but Nats top prospects, they've got Hassel 1, Cavalli 2, Wood 3. So there are two of the new guys they added.
Mm-hmm.
And then House, Vaquero, Green. And then they've got Susanna down at number 10.
So, I mean, the majority of those guys are teenagers. You're not going to see the majority of those guys until, at the minimum, 2024.
We will talk to Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, President of Baseball Ops, at 9 o'clock. You don't want to miss that.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, a couple things to mention here. The Junkies Poker Open, we announced it just 2 days ago.
We did.
If you missed it, it is Friday, September 9th, MGM National Harbor. Of course, we weren't able to do it during the pandemic, but JPO 2022, presented by our friends at Potomac Metals. You've tried the rest, now scrap with the best. Live long and scrap on. And one of the questions I saw a lot of people asking was about registration. In the past, like when we were at Borgata, we would do pre-registration.
Yeah.
But I think we're just rolling with you register there. So you register the day of. I don't think we have pre-registration. That's kind of the way it's worked the last couple times at MGM National Harbor, and it hasn't been a problem. We'll be doing the show Friday morning, right in front of the ballroom where we have the tournament.
Correct.
So you get there early, you watch do the show, you register, you hang out, you kind of feel the buzz, the energy, and then you play some cards.
And people are asking, like, what time does the tournament start? Generally starts at 10 a.m.
Right.
I mean, it might be a little bit after that when everybody gets settled into the
ballroom. Yeah, it's usually around 10.
But
10:30 maybe,
nice,
the latest.
Bright and early start for Junkies Poker.
So, again, put it on your calendar. It is September 9th. We're a month away, yep. Friday, September 9th. And side note, Cakes is going to be at MGM National Harbor tonight for the Cakes Classic.
This is correct.
So you can play some cards and play some poker tonight.
Real quick, I forgot to mention this, but do you know who plays the Nats next weekend?
I believe it's here. The Padres.
Padres are here. Juan Soto will be playing at Nats Park next weekend.
That is good. That is going to be a wild scene.
That is going to be
when
crazy.
He returns to Nats Park. And of course, Mike Rizzo will return to these airwaves in about 13 minutes. That's coming up at 9 a.m. You absolutely do not want to miss that. But we're going to get into some quarterback news. It's QB quarter of.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to focus on some of the Commanders' NFC East opponents. This headline would drive one Eric Carlton Bickle crazy.
You will text him a picture.
This is from DelawareOnline.com. Carson Wentz's brutal day with Commanders shows why Eagles better off with Jalen Hurts.
And so that's based on Carson 2 days ago where he threw three interceptions.
Threw three
where
picks.
Where all the reports were the defense was better than the offense. Because not only did Wentz, to be fair to him, not only did Wentz throw interceptions, I believe Heinicke came in there, threw an interception.
Right.
Howell threw an interception.
Yeah, Carson threw three picks, two on back-to-back plays.
That was 2 days ago.
Correct.
I heard yesterday he was much better.
I read some reports yesterday that he was better, although he seems to consistently throw high balls. But, you know, all of these beat reporters, we're all friends with them. They break down every throw.
Sure, they're there for everything.
It's just what it is.
They digest every single throw, every single play.
Speaking of Hurts, I thought Cakes would find this interesting.
Okay.
I just went on to Athlon's quarterback fantasy rankings.
Okay. I didn't know Athlon was still putting
out
annuals.
Still out there. They love depth charts and rankings.
They do all kinds of
That's
stuff.
Kind
they,
of
they
their
do,
thing.
They do college football conference previews, win total preview. They do everything. They do a lot of
By
good
the way,
stuff.
They used to put, they might still put out like annual magazines.
Probably.
I go into like the grocery store at Harris Teeter. I used to buy them all the time, like 15 or 20 years ago. Now I just kind of sneer at them. Like,
it's all online.
Old information.
So I'm looking at the quarterback rankings for fantasy 2022.
Right.
All right. Number one is Josh Allen.
Right. Makes sense.
Justin Herbert's two.
Okay.
Okay. You get down to number eight, right behind Tom Brady.
Right.
Jalen Hurts.
Well, when a guy rushes for, if he's going to rush for 700 or 800 yards, I mean, that's, and score 8 to 10 touchdowns. I know that some people like to discount those numbers.
But in the fantasy world, they count.
As a fantasy player, I don't care if you throw touchdowns or you cross the goal line with the ball like this. I don't care how it happens.
In the real world, they count.
They all count the same.
Yeah.
Well, so if Jalen Hurts is going to account for 35 touchdowns, 25 throwing, and 10 rushing, sign me up.
25 might be a little high.
Sign me up all day long.
If he can get to 35, he might be number one.
If all 35 of them were rushing, who cares?
Yeah, I couldn't care less. I'm all about it. I know that quarterbacks generally, you throw the ball, that's your top weapon. But if your top weapon is your legs, please utilize those to the top of your ability.
I don't know if you have the story, but I saw this yesterday or the day before. Now, I think it's countered by the most recent news, but 2 days ago they were saying that Jalen Hurts was looking like poop on the poopies.
Yeah, I mean,
in training camp.
I have three different stories on Jalen Hurts.
Right.
Hold on real quick. They've got Hurts rated ahead of Kyler Murray.
Okay.
Joe Burrow, Matt Stafford. And Stafford threw a ton of touchdowns last year.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins.
Because
Aaron Rodgers.
Because he is a cheat code guy.
I get it.
Guys that are that good with their legs.
It's very interesting.
They're fantasy cheat codes is what they are. So I mentioned the headline that would tilt EB. Then the next headline of Jalen Hurts is Brian Westbrook on Jalen Hurts' early camp struggles. Quote, absolutely concerned. And then you go to ESPN from yesterday. They're doing like a quarterback roundup. Jalen Hurts is heating up. It was the team's first day in pads. Hurts had his best showing in the summer, highlighted by a 50-plus yard dime to Jalen Reagor, the former first rounder, who's, quote, battling for a spot on the roster, according to Nick Sirianni.
That line, though, about Jalen Hurts heating up,
yeah,
it's probably an evergreen line that can be used for all the quarterbacks in camp, because it's almost identical to what we heard about Carson Wentz yesterday.
Correct.
In pads, played better.
I kind of buy into the Hurts hype because they bring in A.J. Brown in a trade. Got Devonta Smith in year two. Mm-hmm. Dallas Goedert's a really good tight end. They've got a battery of good pass-catching running backs with Sanders, Gainwell, Boston Scott. There are weapons there for him to utilize. It's just
Quez
can he
Watkins
become more
is,
accurate?
Quez Watkins, Watkins is a good three.
He's a super fast guy.
Jalen Reagor probably underwhelming because he was a first-round pick 2 years ago, but he's good for depth.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying he's battling to make the roster. That's how far his stock has fallen. And, of course, Eagles fans always lament over the fact that he was selected before Justin Jefferson, who's considered one of the top, I don't know, two or three, five at worst wideouts in the league. Moving on to the Giants, apparently Daniel Jones is starting to heat up a bit, too. The Giants offense during camp up to this point has been a little bit shaky. Brian Daboll comes in from Buffalo. He's instituting a lot of new concepts there. And he looks out and he realizes he doesn't have Josh Allen. He's got to work with Daniel Jones. But apparently he went 16 for 20 with two touchdowns. Now he did have two picks. Also, Kenny Galladay was sitting out the team drills that day.
Shocker.
The fantasy guy I love there is, if he can stay healthy, is Kadarius Toney in year two.
Where if you got to the second round and Saquon was sitting there in the second round, would you take him?
When in the second round? Early, mid, late? What are we talking here?
Well, I know late in the second round you would definitely take him. Let's just say you had the fourth pick in the second round. So, I don't know, 16-ish.
I would consider.
And you took McCaffrey in the first round. You'd have McCaffrey and Barkley as your RBs.
I would seriously consider him at that point. Yeah. Because, I mean, Barkley, if he's healthy, especially in this offense, he's been moving all over the formation. He's going to be utilized a lot in the passing game. If he can stay healthy for 13 to 14 games, I think he's going to put up big numbers, especially for where relatively you're drafting that guy.
Yeah, I would agree.
So I wouldn't
take him in the first.
I think I'd have to take him.
I wouldn't take him in the first.
I'd probably
pull the
trigger there.
Yeah.
Coming up next.
Don't want to
miss
it.
The guy who traded Juan Soto, Mike Rizzo, president of baseball operations, general manager of your Washington Nationals, joins us next on the Junkies on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.